Well, in fact, it's interesting because the Senate, back a few months ago, had authorized funds for both the Republican and the Democrats to be represented. So they chose to follow the framework that had been used in the past, and at least in the sense of fairness for the major parties, that certainly would have been accomplished. We offered a different alternative. We offered the alternative of saying, let's have our Ledge Council attorneys do it. But at least there was an element of fairness in what the Democrats did in the Senate back a few months ago. And then on the second day of the session, the Republicans in the Senate, you know, said, well, yeah, we are going to keep our attorneys for the Republicans, but you no longer can have any right to legal representation. So I would talk to the senators about that issue.
Speaker Fitzgerald said this morning that it's if this should have been addressed a while ago under the previous Democratic majority, you guys could have gotten the ball rolling. Now it's too late to come up with any alternatives. Why wasn't this thought about under the previous majority?
Well, first of all, I don't think it was too late. I mean, there's a timeline laid out for Ledge Council here, which we can give a copy to all of you, that lays out the fact that at the beginning of 2011, the Census Bureau informs the state about congressional seats. Then there's a process for municipal training. The district lines are drawn and ward lines are drawn by the municipalities and by the county boards. They're then given to the legislature, and the legislative database will be created in October of 2011. And in November of 2011, legislative redistricting plans can start to be drawn. So we're not behind the eight ball at all. There was no urgency to have attorneys prior to this point. Now, we had talked to them. I know Speaker Sheridan had talked with then Minority Leader Fitzgerald about various options, but it's not as if we felt any compelling need to hire attorneys immediately. I think he's just simply wrong in stating that there's some clear and compelling need that we've put attorneys to work immediately. There is clearly a prescribed timeline, and I'll be happy to share this memo with you.
I let me add to that. The allegation that this is late is just ridiculous. I mean, this process, we haven't even got to the point where we've seen local data coming in. I cannot tell you how many people live in your particular ward or your particular ward. None of the race data is in. The only thing that we have at this point is a total number for Wisconsin, and the only thing that we had before that was the 209 estimates, which the Census Bureau did. And I read in New York Times this Sunday, they were talking about the 209 estimates in Chicago and the changing nature of the Chicago demography. But we're not even close to knowing what the demography in Wisconsin is. We've got a bunch of estimates. But some of those are going to be way off. In the past, when I've worked at these materials, until we get the final ward-by-ward census data, block-by-block count, we don't really know what this is. And that's a long way away before any of that comes to being. I don't know what one would need with a lawyer at this point. I don't even know what one would need with a lawyer by July. I think we are, this is, the argument that we're too late is just, there's just no merit to that.
And Greg, I would just say that it is really the height of hypocrisy for Speaker Fitzgerald to say that Democrats should have done this earlier, because in fact, in the Senate, they did follow that traditional path, and yet still, the Republicans undertook this appalling power grab to totally shut out constituents represented by all of us from having representation in this process. So the idea that if we had decided to go with the previous precedent in the last session, that they would have just sat on their hands rather than do this, I think is clearly disproven by their actions.
How do you think redistricting is going to be different under this setup with Republicans having an attorney than it would be if you had one as well?
Well, or if we had Ledge Council, for instance, giving us legal advice. I think under the alternative that we proposed, the clearest difference would be that any memos that were requested or any legal opinions in regard to, let's say, minority reapportionment considerations or considerations of some of the other points that Representative Kessler referred to would be open documents, and everybody could look at those. So it's a huge difference in that regard. And if you want to address that.
No, that's all right.
I guess what I'm getting at is at the end of the day, do you think the redistricting process is going to be any better or any worse under this setup than your alternative?
Well, this is only the first step, so one can only wonder what's next. I mean, they surprised us yesterday with this motion in regard to legal representation. We have no idea what's coming next in terms of what type of process they're going to use in terms of having public hearings, what type of input they're going to take into consideration. One can only wonder.
I have to say it's going to be worse, and I will tell you why it's going to be worse. In 1971, the Republicans controlled the Senate and the Democrats controlled the Assembly, and we had to make compromises because of the split in the parties. All the other elections since then, there was a party split and courts had to do the job. This is the first time one party has control of both houses and the governorship. And that tells me that this is going to be much worse. And so I think when you look at this, you have to balance that off. We have done, since 1971, when the county line rule was abolished, and we had the freedom to create districts that crossed county lines, since then, we've always had a bipartisan process. At this time, for the first time that I can remember in what's going to be 40 years or 50 years in effect because of the length of this plan, this is the first time we are going to see it being done in the partisan fashion where all the power is concentrated in one hand. And to then start off and deprive the minority of participation is just outrageous.
How many seats is this worth? If they rig the process, can they get 5 seats, 10 more seats?
I think that's highly speculative at this point.
But it's worth quite a bit. I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
I'd have to see the maps before I could even comment on
that. Well, and Representative Kessler's an expert on this. I mean, he could certainly give you various scenarios. But you know, the real issue here that we're talking about today is the issue that we're spending millions of dollars unnecessarily of taxpayer dollars after our governor called for us to be frugal. And secondly, it's an assault on open government. And you know, we're very concerned by both of those points. It runs contrary to what the message has been. And then the third point would be what Representative Clark articulated, which is the issue that, you know, we have been attempting on a bipartisan basis to work on a jobs package. We had a very good meeting, Senator Miller and I, yesterday with the governor. As a courtesy, we helped on a bipartisan basis introduce his bills. We were encouraged. And the real focus should be on jobs. So what would be the urgency to come in on the second day to authorize, you know, an unlimited amount of money to go for attorneys is beyond our wildest consideration of why they would have done this at that point. What is the urgency? Why are you doing this? But most importantly, why are you sticking the taxpayers with millions of dollars of legal fees that are totally unnecessary? By clearly, the Republicans would agree, the foremost expert on redistricting in the legislature, Representative Kessler.
If they did follow the old standard and they said, okay, then the Democrats can hire their own outside counsel, what would that change? Because it's still going to come down to the votes in the two chambers where you guys don't have the votes to block whatever plan they like. The governor's going to sign that plan. Is it basically they would be giving you the money to sue and have the taxpayers pay?
No. This is not about suing. This is about getting legal guidance in terms of drawing the maps. We will try to resort to using ledge counsel. But the point is that our alternative, again, was to have ledge counsel attorneys and to be able to put forward these memos and to advise us. Now, we will reach out to ledge counsel. But clearly, you know, they won't be. They'll be resorting to spending millions of dollars on private attorneys.
I at this point, all this is so premature. I mean, I'm hoping that in this circumstances, we're not going to see the excessive gerrymandering. I'm not sure I'm as optimistic as I wish I could be, but I'm hoping that we can avoid and work out a compromise. I mean, those of us who've dealt with this, I mean, 10 years ago, I tried to persuade the federal court to have a competitive election aspect imposed. I've drafted competitive election legislation in the last two sessions to try to deal with that. I think we are in a situation where competitive elections criteria ought to be used. I'm hoping that some of my friends on the Republican side of the aisle will consider competitive election criteria in drafting the districts.
Any other questions? Otherwise, thank you all for being here.
Thank you.